The Daily Connect podcast, the voice of the RNIB Connect community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Connect podcast. I am Stephen Scott and it is Friday the 17th of August today. And on the programme we talked about pavement parking once again and shared more of your views that you've been sending in to us over the course of the week. It is a new campaign you might have heard of from Guide Dogs, aiming to raise awareness of the issue to guide dog owners and more importantly drivers out there. We also got into the forum today with guests Sandra Gair, who presents Music Box here on RNIB Connect Radio, as well as Alan George, who presents the show Sounds of the Silver Screen. They joined me to talk about accessing culture, including the arts, movies and TV, plus using technology to make just a simple phone call. Also, they discuss their biggest gripes of the week, and we hear their views and experiences of pavement parking as well. We've also got something to get you moving as well. If you're in the Edinburgh area, why not try out tandem cycling with some taster days starting today and running across the weekend. David Glover joined us to tell us why he decided to set up the group. And of course, it is Friday, which meant we got producer Chris into the studio with something for the weekend, your ultimate guide to the weekend ahead at the theatre, in the cinema, or on the telly. That's all coming up. But we kick off our podcast with the forum.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hello. Right, let's get into it then. Today's forum is going to touch on three specific areas. We're going to talk about arts and culture and access to all of that. We're also going to be speaking about the big issues that you guys have as visually impaired people. Maybe you don't. I'll be interested to hear. And also pavement parking. It's the ongoing campaign from Guide Dogs. Just started this week, actually. But it's been ongoing on Twitter and on social media for quite a while. And it's I'd just be interested to know your thoughts on it. Okay, so let's kick off then with our first topic, which is around arts, culture, you know, experiencing the world in whatever way you choose to explore it. Sandra, you're one of the cultured ones among us. So
am I, Steve?
We've decided that because you play classical music, so that's cultural.
Right, yeah.
So okay. To tell us how you sort of find the cultural world out there.
Well, in terms of going to productions, I cheat a bit and read the book first. So that even if someone next to me isn't audio describing everything, I can glue it together. It's like, okay, well, in the book, that's what happened there. So that's probably what they're doing now. So it's a bit of a two-part thing for me. In the theatre, operas, I find it more fun being in them than sitting there watching them, just as a thing. The cinema, I like the audio description. I kind of prefer it though when a human being is sitting next to me doing it, because when you've got the headphones on, you're kind of cut off from everyone and you can't enjoy it with everyone else, if you see what I'm getting at there. There's no camaraderie if it's you and your headphones sitting there. You might as well be on your own, I find.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. What about you, Alan? Where do you stand on culture?
Well, I like some of the culture. I'm cultured music more. I like classical music, which is why I spend a great deal of listening to Classic FM. Drives people nuts or...
Hang on a minute, Alan. You could be listening to Sandra Gair on Music Box. You don't need that.
I know, but I can't remember when Sandra's on. Is it Monday night?
It's Monday night.
It is Monday night, yeah.
Oh, I got the right night anyway. But, I like...
We'll give you a pass.
I like cultured music. In fairness, in Cardiff, they're very good. The theatres love to give audio description, and they do it as often as is humanly possible, as do some of the cinemas, but mostly the theatres. And what they also like to try and do, they arrange certain days, is to arrange for people to not just have audio description, but to go behind the scenes and see how the what the costumes are like and what the scenery is like. So I think that's a good improvement, because it's very difficult. You know, you go to sit and listen to a play or something. You understand this play and everything, but it's nice to know how the scenery all comes together and how it all works.
The solution is get a job in the theatre and be in a production, then you get all of that anyway.
Yes, but I don't have a job in a theatre, so that I'm not working now. My mother used to work in a cinema. And
oh, did she?
Yeah, she was, she did usheretting and, you know, putting the films on, because in those days, a film would be about four or five reels.
Yes.
At the end of a reel, there's a little mark on the top of the film, and so they would know when to start the next reel, so we'd all link up together. And she said, oh, she used to edit the reels as well. So she got used to telling me when I was starting to watch films. She said, look, I'll tell you what's going on. And she should have done audio description, because she was very, very clever at it. She's gone now, poor old thing. But, yeah, she was very, very good.
That's amazing.
Mm, a fascinating world.
Mm. I mean, it's audio description has really changed, certainly for me, the whole experience of going to the movies. Up until about maybe 3 years ago, I could probably get by watching a movie, but now I'm at the position where I really need audio description, so I can really see and enjoy the value in it. I have to say, I don't go to theatre very often. Shame on me, I know. I know I should, but, you know, I just... I don't know. I don't know why I don't. Probably just lack
of time.
It's not
about should. I mean, it's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Fun. No one's going to quiz you on it afterwards.
I don't often have time for fun, Sandra. You may notice I'm never out of the studio. But I do think it would be a great thing to go and do. But just in regards to that audio description thing, I mean, so Alan, you've tried it.
I've tried it a couple of times. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You need it more today than you ever needed it, because a lot
of
modern films are so fast acting, especially what they're doing, you know, and what's on screen. So therefore, you do need people to fill in the gaps, especially if there's a chase, you know, or a police scene where everybody's driving around the city like they're possessed. So, you do need audio description. I mean, I had Sky, and I still had it for a while, but I'll be getting rid of it now because I live alone. It's very difficult. I don't know how you do it, but to find your way using a Sky box is very, very tricky, because it doesn't speak.
Well,
no, there's the Ofcom regulations or prescriptive measures coming in soon, and
that's going to change
about a month ago, but I haven't heard any noises out of my Skybox.
No,
I rang the disability number type thing,
yeah,
and they spent ages talking to me about every button on my remote control, and I basically wrote them all down and brailled it out. And I can cope, I suppose, because I don't really explore very much. I know the channels I like, and that's the end of it.
Well, that's mainly what I'm doing, but I'm finding now that Freeview is very good, and all the new tellies have got Freeview in. Not only have they got Freeview in, but they actually they talk it. So when you get to a channel, it says you're on ITV3, for instance. You're on ITV3. The time, it tells you the time, I don't know. The time is, and showing at the moment is, and how long it's on for, when it started, when it ends. You get all that junk, and then, it's not junk, but information. And then after that lot's finished, you go into the show and you're listening to an audio description comes on automatically.
Yeah, that is
fantastic. Cool.
Yeah, and I actually didn't realize until very recently, though, that a number now of the TVs that you can buy has this feature. I know that Samsung had it.
Yeah, that's the Samsung A6400,
yeah,
which is the one I'm talking about. But I haven't bought it because I'm moving in a couple of weeks, so... I will have that Samsung, and it's absolutely fantastic. But they told me the minute I plug a Skybox into it, all that switches off.
That's right, because only the TV itself, it has got that function, the Skybox, once you plug it in. As you see, once you turn over to that channel, if you like, all that goes away. But interestingly, LG also do it now as well.
Do they?
And Panasonic. So it's getting better. But you're right, the Skyboxes and Virgin Boxes, and actually the Freeview Boxes themselves, None of them speak.
So I decided, I thought, right, blow this. I'm quite happy with Freeview. Most of what I watch would be on there. So I've got rid of Sky, or will be getting rid of it. And I'll just stay with Freeview, and I'm more than I want.
What about on demand?
On demand, I think you're referring to the sort of internet catch-up services, aren't you, Stephen?
Yeah.
I find I prefer them on the computer than the smartphone, because I can access the audio described version of the program on the computer, whereas a lot of the time all I can get is just click play on whatever the program is on the smartphone.
On the telly, yeah.
I don't want to start a kickoff about Android versus Apple, so I'm just
no,
saying
no,
smartphone.
Please don't. Please don't. We'll save that for TikTok.
Yeah.
I will say, though, and I haven't even announced this to my lovely audience on TikTok yet, but I'm now currently sporting an Android phone. That's all I'm saying.
I've got both.
Yeah, well, so do I, actually. But yeah, but I'm using an Android at the moment.
I got the Apple 6.
You've got the iPhone 6, right,
Apple
okay.
6. And I tell you what I do like. You know the RNIB in your pocket thing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've got that. And now, of course, they've added the phone feature to it.
Yes, that's right.
And in all fairness, it doesn't do all the tricks. But at the same time, it does all you want it to do. You can make phone calls, you receive phone calls, you can send texts. So, you know, it does what you...
Yeah, what do you need? Yeah.
What you want.
So okay.
I think that's a good idea.
Right, I'm sure we could talk about culture all day, but let's stop for a second because...
Oh my God. I just wanted to make a comment about the sort of visual arts versus the sort of tactile art. Tactile art is great. The whole art on the wall thing leaves me cold, generally because I don't even know where it is and I have to be turned to face it. But there was one funny story where a group of friends and I were on a school trip to an art gallery and I had a bet with them that if I was... turned to face the right way and talked the talk and hid my cane, I could pass myself off as sighted. And I won. I went on and on about the light and shade and the creation of space, and I didn't even know which wall it was on.
Well done.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Sandra and Alan, stay with it right there because we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some other topics, including your big issues. That's coming up.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Now, this week on The Daily Connect, we have been talking about your experiences of pavement parking. Now, lots of you have been sharing your views following the new campaign by the charity Guide Dogs to make drivers more aware of the problem and how they could help solve it. Well, first up this week, we heard from Jessica Lee from Guide Dogs itself to find out more about the campaign and how we can all get involved.
We know that pavement parked cars are a huge problem for guide dog owners and people with sight loss. We surveyed our supporters and people with sight loss, and of them, 97% have experienced problems with street clutter, like the kind of things you've just mentioned. And of that 97%, 90% have experienced problems with pavement parked cars. So it's obviously a huge issue, and it's particularly dangerous as they can force people into the road to face oncoming traffic. This not only affects people with sight loss, but also parents with pushchairs, wheelchair users, and many other groups. And one guide dog owner I spoke to told me how it makes them feel particularly frightened and unsafe. We're here ultimately to make sure that people can live their lives as independently and confidently as possible. And at the moment, that's really been taken away by unsafe pavement parking. We're seeing problems with pavement parking up and down the UK. There's kind of the laws around the UK are also very inconsistent on pavement parking, so it's leaving drivers confused and it's putting people with sight loss at risk. We at Guide Dogs have been campaigning on the issue for a number of years. Back in December 2015, a private member's bill on pavement parking, which would have made pavement parking an offence in England and Wales, was withdrawn on the basis that the government promised to research how a new law on pavement parking would work. Since then, we've been consistently campaigning on this, getting the issue raised in Parliament, talking with politicians, and helping our fantastic supporters to reach out to their MPs about the issue. 30th of August this year will mark 1,000 days since the UK government promised to find out how a new law, such as the solution that already exists in London, would work. For us, 1,000 days, an incredibly long time to wait when your safety is at risk. Which is why we're going to be launching an open letter to the Prime Minister to take an urgent lead with the government to end this 1,000 days of delay and take action to change the law on unsafe pavement parking. We are calling on the Prime Minister to take an urgent lead with the government. And what we are asking supporters to do is sign our open letter online, which you can access through the Guide Dogs campaign's Facebook page. And add their name to say that they think that enough time has passed and we need to see some action. We've been joined by lots of other charities who've also been campaigning on this issue, and it's a moment where we're really all coming together to say enough is enough, it's time to take action on pavement parking.
Jessica Lee from Guide Dogs there. Let's now hear from Sinead McFarlane, who is a guide dog owner herself. She told us about her experiences when she comes across cars or large vehicles parked on the pavement.
Unfortunately, I've had several occasions where I've had to go into a very busy road and get round cars and lorries and things, especially on routes that I know and the dog knows that are usually clear, you know, paths that are usually clear. So when we come across that, it's very frightening. So we go our usual route, and then all of a sudden the dog will slow down and stop, and I'll say to him, okay, find the way, what's wrong? I mean, I don't know if it's roadworks or, you know, if it drains up or if there's an A-board or anything. I don't know if it's a car or, as you say, two cars or anything. So he takes me to the curb. If he can't find a way through, he takes me to the curb, and then it's a case of I just tell him to forward and then in, tell him to find the path, find the curb again. And it can be sometimes two cars parked, you know, back to back and right on the pavement, so there's no gap for you to get past. You really are, you're depending on the dog to risk both our lives to take us into a busy road. And where I live, even though it's a village, it's a very busy through road. So there's a lot of lorries, wood lorries and things going past. And that can be extremely scary, especially if you're halfway round or you think you're halfway round a car and you think, oh, I'm going to get on the path soon. And all of a sudden, lorries and cars come out of nowhere. Unfortunately, a couple of times it's happened to me. There's been nobody else around I can ask for help from. So I have reported it to the police, and I've been in touch with the local MPs in the area. And I also got in touch with my mobility team in Glasgow, and they sent out somebody to see how bad the problem was, because it was a regular occurrence at one point. You know, there was cars parked on pavement. And I contacted them, and they came out kindly and showed me how to sort of get safely about or try to find an alternative route if I did come across that problem again. I'm hoping that people will take notice of it and realise how dangerous it is for somebody who can't see or has got limited vision. And they'll just be considerate and won't park on the pavement, or at least if they have to, because that's the response I've had from a lot of people, oh, we have to park on the pavement because there's no parking space. If they could just leave enough room for at least two people to get past.
Sinead McFarland there. Now, listener Marissa got in touch with us to share her views as well. She lives in the town of Market Harborough in Leicestershire.
Well, when I used to live in another village, again, there was a lot of it, really. And when I was trying to get around with my guard dog and with my cane before that, it was really difficult sometimes because there were lots of things on one of the pavements and on one of the crossings that we had to cross over. So it meant we had to go out into the wider bit of the road and sometimes not get back on very straight and things. And the same when I was in college in Loughborough as well, on the way from the college to the residential part or the other way around, it was a similar situation. And even now, when being between guide dogs at the moment, and I've been learning a route round here because I only moved here in January, and then there's one bit where quite often we have to go onto the road for a bit because there's one or two quite big cars or vehicles that are up to be parked in the same place all the time, and that makes it really difficult, especially when I haven't got a dog at the moment anyway, and because it's a new route.
Thanks to Marissa for getting in touch. Now, interestingly, this problem even affects the likes of us here at RNIB Connect Radio. Now, when Alan Russell and I, he's our morning show host, I'm sure you've heard him, we went for a coffee the other day and quite literally bumped into a large white van-shaped object. We decided it was a van. And I got the chance to record our experience. I just pulled out the phone and recorded the experience. So you got the idea of how it affects us.
Hey, Al, so always nice to go for a coffee after the show. I'm just wondering if this van's going to be here again.
Ah, yes. Parked right across the gate, and there we go.
Ah, there it is. So it's actually parked. I mean, like, the grass is. So, yeah, you actually have to walk at. You've got to walk on the grass to get by it.
Yeah.
There's no other way to do it.
And it's like a long wheel based van, and it's reversed in, so the back is completely across the path. So you have to go up onto the grass, not knowing what's in the grass as you walk across it.
Yeah, well, that worries me a little bit, yeah.
And
what am I standing on?
I know. There's trees as well, so you have to duck just to get round it, and it's here an awful lot.
Yeah, well, every time we go for a coffee, we tend to meet this van, and I thought today we'd record it just to see if we did, and well, there you go, we did.
Sometimes two.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, well. Well, you know, we're by the van now, let's get the coffee.
So there you go. Now, join the campaign by supporting Guide Dogs Online by tweeting your experiences using the hashtag #PavementParking, or read more about the campaign online by searching for Guide Dogs.
The Daily Connect podcast.
This is The Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and with me today, Sandra Gair, host of Music Box. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
And we've also got Alan George, host of Sons of the Silver Screen. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Do you know, when I asked you earlier, Alan, if you were into your movies, I should have known, considering your show that you do. Yeah, of course you're into your movies and your music from your movies, actually, more importantly. Yeah. Right, let's get into big issues then, because, you know, it's fair to say that we all have one thing that maybe gets us going, that maybe annoys us about the world around us, whether it be related to the sighted world or not. I'm intrigued to know yours. So, Alan George, what's your big issue?
I suppose, really, dialing main companies. Because you go through to most companies today and you got press one, press two, press three and the usual rubbish. And then you start your way through. And then it'll ask you to press the first six digits of your account number or anything like that you might have a number to. And that's when I find things frustrating, because I don't know how many people actually know their gas account number in their heads. I don't. But and yet they'll say, it will begin with 9. Well, yeah, fine. Well done. Thank you. But so I find it's frustrating more than, and so therefore makes it annoying.
Mm.
And consequently, the next thing you do is ignore it. Then it asks you for something else which you cannot provide. So you ignore that. And then it will say, please key in your telephone number, your home telephone number. So you key it in. Then it says, I do not recognise that number. Oh,
yeah.
Right, now what do you want me to do? So it says, please wait. Then it comes back and it says, key in your home telephone. So you key it in. Ah, please wait. And then, lo and behold, someone will come on the phone. But it's
I'll tell you a good way of circumventing that. It definitely works with PayPal. Sometimes with Sky and a couple of other ones. But if you know the key phrases to get to talk to someone and just keep saying them, it will work. So I know with PayPal, if you say agent, but in a really aggressive way, like agent, every time it asks you, it's like agent, it will work.
Oh, I just press star in the end and I seem to get there.
Yeah, I think yeah, you're right. I think yeah. there is always seems to be a password that gets you through to a human being.
Yes.
And you're right, it's agent or advisor.
Yeah.
And I just keep saying that. And you're right. And it's so irritating because when it does it, especially if it asks you for information, you know, please enter your 16-digit card number.
That's right, yeah.
And you think, hang on, how am I supposed to... And what I've noticed as well is there's one...
Braille them out. Braille everything.
I need to learn Braille, though. Take me a bit of a while. I need to know what's in my bank before that. But I just think it's just so irritating because, you know, some of them are actually voice-activated as well. So even... You you speak...
Did you say this? Did you say that?
Yeah, if you even say something or you have something in the background that's reading it out. Because I did once try it. It didn't work, actually, but I did try having Jaws with the number and hold the phone up to the speaker on my computer and just sort of tap through with my cursor keys, sort of 4186. And then it still said, don't recognise it. And I thought, oh, forget it. Just forget it. I don't need money. It's fine. I'll just live the rest of my life alone. Without money.
Yeah.
Well, but the worst one is when you think you've got to the right thing. It's like, yeah, that's what I want. And then it says, you can find all this on our website, and it cuts you off.
Hey, I know, it's so annoying.
That's useless.
Yeah. Oh, that drives me insane. Alan, what have you started? I know, I hate this automated world we live in. So I want to talk to a human being. Any company, I'm putting it out there right now, any company that says, we have people who will answer our phones. It's a new idea. We're going to try it. Actual humans that answer the phone, you get my business. I don't care what you do.
Well, that used to be my job. I was a telephonist.
There you go.
So I just, when I ring these people, I think, for crying out loud, can't somebody just pick a bloody phone up and answer it?
Right, okay.
The worst one is when you've spent lots of money on, let's say, a piece of kit, and then you ring up tech support, and either there isn't anyone there, or it takes hours, and you think, what have they spent all that money on? Not tech support, anyway.
No.
Right, you've got us riled up on that one, Alan. Well done. You've done as well. You've done us proud on that one. Right, okay. Sandra, what's your big issue?
Okay, my big issue is PDF files.
Oh, yeah.
And when people scan something as a photograph and still say it looks the same as text, as opposed to converting text to PDF and telling me it's the same thing. That's my issue, because Jaws doesn't recognise photo, it'll just say empty document and it won't read it. But when you convert from a text file to a PDF, if you actually use the commands to convert text to PDF, it will actually read it. So you've got, you know, several PDF documents from different people, let's say in the same company. So you could read thingies and like, yeah, but thingy scanned it in such and such a way. And you can't explain it to a sighted person because it looks the same. So that's my beef.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Alan, I mean, we're talking here, I guess, about, you know, the way the sighted world sees...
it's so natural to them, isn't
it?
This is the problem. I mean, I'm a bit of a Luddite once we get to the internet and what have you, but I'm all right with computer. I use a little machine, that Braille Note thing.
Oh, the Braille Note Touch?
Yeah.
Okay.
But... yeah, it's how, unfortunately, you know, we're part of the sighted world, and sometimes there are things that just happen. You're not going to get there, as when we get to our next subject, which I know what it is, but I can't tell the listener yet. But as we get, again, we're in the sighted world, unfortunately, and I'm not saying nothing should be done about it. I'm merely saying that there are times when it just gets a bit too far.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one, right? Because I often wonder, I know a lot of things these days tend to get filed under the pick your battles approach, and I get that, and I agree with it to some degree. You cannot live your life totally annoyed about everything all the time.
No.
It's not healthy.
No point in it.
No. But at the same token, there are times where there are things that bother us, and like you say, Sandra, this is something that really irritates you. It's something that's a really easy fix for the person who was sending you that document. You know, how do you approach that? Do you go in kicking and screaming, or do you say, actually, look, if you just did this, it makes my life so much easier?
I take the second approach, and bemused they become, the slower I get in my explanation. So I just keep repeating myself, and it's like, this is a photograph. This is not text. It looks the same as text, but it is a photo of text. And the screen reader reads text. I do start talking like that, but it can be very frustrating. And yeah, I had computer problems this morning, and it inspires me to just, you know what, I'm gonna switch the internet off, I'm gonna go just get that. I'm not gonna do it. Anyone who wants me can phone me. I'm not gonna use computer anymore, but then I get over myself.
It makes you go like that, though.
yeah, it does.
Well,
like,
it's,
you know what?
It's like
life's too short for this.
Yeah, but it's like the thing with the calling up and the automation and the calls.
Yeah.
You know, it just, these things just do get you down. Right, I'll pause the conversation there because we'll come back with more from the forum later here on the Daily Connect podcast.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Before all that, I want to ask you a question. How would you like to get on your bike? Well, I'm being nice, actually. I'm talking about tandem cycling. It's something that I'd actually quite like to get into because I don't cycle anymore because of the sight thing. Far too dangerous. But tandem cycling does sound good, and it sounds like you might enjoy it too. And if it does, then you might be pleased to know there are a number of events happening around the country to give you a taste of what it is to cycle on a tandem. Well, in Edinburgh, Vi Velo is running sessions starting over the weekend. David Glover is the man behind them and joins me now on the line. David, good to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, brilliant. Good to be here.
Tell us, David, you're starting up some tandem events for blind and partially sighted people to come along and try a tandem. Tell us how you got involved in all of this.
Well, I'm the development officer for Cycling UK, which is the national cycling charity. I've been working on a project in Edinburgh called the Edinburgh All Ability Bike Centre, which is was aimed at supporting people of all ages and abilities to get cycling. So we use a lot of adapted bikes, like side-by-side trikes and tandems and hand cycles and stuff like that to get people cycling. And then we were noticing a gap that people with a visual impairment weren't coming, and we did a bit of research and found out that the people with a visual impairment didn't see it as what they would want. They would want something a bit more kind of tandem-y, a bit more independent. So we got some funding from RS McDonald to set up the club, set up the Vi Velo cycling club.
And it was as simple as that. You got the groups going, and how's it going so far?
Well, we've only really just started. The project's been almost just started at the beginning of the month.
Right, okay.
Of, beginning of August, so we're just starting to put out the word and starting to do some taster sessions for anybody who would be interested in becoming a member of the club or trying tandem cycling, either for the first time or coming back to it or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so tell me when your next sessions are happening, because they're happening pretty soon.
Yeah, we've got three taster sessions lined up over the next few weeks. Well, we've got two at the end of this week. We've got one on Friday. It's Friday the 17th of August. That's between 3 and 5pm. We've also got one this Sunday the 19th of August, between 12 and 2pm at our base in Edinburgh.
And if I'm coming along to this, and I'm saying that because I'm intrigued by this, because I've always wanted to do tandem. I used to love cycling years ago, and then I gave it up, David, because I just thought, I can't do this anymore. I will die. Yeah. You know, there comes a point when if you can't see anything that's coming ahead of you, it's not safe. So I kind of took that decision to walk away from it before it killed me. But tandeming does sound like good fun. So what should I bring with me if I was coming along?
For the pacer sessions, just yourself and appropriate clothing for kind of a bit of cycling on the day. We'll provide the tandems, we'll provide the helmet, we'll provide instructors. We do have waterproofs if people come along and are not prepared for maybe a bit of drizzle on the day, but we can loan waterproofs out. But yeah, just yourselves and sensible like trainer type shoes, just for being able to pedal nicely, no kind of open toed sandals or flip flops or things like that. But
right.
I don't think that'll be a problem for yourself.
I think you know me well and we've never met. Tell me, does it cost anything? Should I bring cash?
No, these are completely free sessions. The whole it's getting the club off the ground, so it's no cost to anybody to take part or get interested and start taking part in what we're doing. No.
Okay, and if people want to find out more, I mean, you know, you've heard about it now, that's great, but what's the next step? So, you know, as well as turning up, which is one option, tell us how people can get in touch with you to find out more about it.
There's a few different methods. We've got the social medias going. We've got a Twitter account for VIE Velo. So if you just search VIE Velo on Twitter, the same on Facebook, it should come up. You can give me a phone on 07500-069357 to have a chat over the phone, or drop an email into vievelo.edinburgh@gmail.com, and I can send out some information that way as well.
And do all of these events happen in the same place?
Yeah, at the moment we are all these sessions are happening at the Bangham Outdoor Centre, which is on Craig Hall Gardens in Edinburgh. If anyone wants to Google it, the postcode is EH64RJ. That's our base at the moment. We are going to be expanding to a second site as well at Sawston Park in Edinburgh, but that's currently undergoing a massive multi-million pound refurbishment, and that won't be ready until later in the year to start doing things there. But Bangham Outdoor Centre is our main base at the moment.
Sounds brilliant. Thank you so much, David, for coming on. And
this is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great to have your company. Stephen Scott here with you today, and also with me, Sandra Gare, who presents Music Box. She's the cultured one among us. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Stephen.
And we also have Alan George, who's the music man from down your way in Wales. Yes, he has Sounds of the Silver Screen. Don't know where that one came from, Alan, but there you go. You can have that.
Why not?
Yeah. You present the Sounds of the Silver Screen show, which is all about music from the movies. Brilliant show, by the way. Both of them are. Thoroughly enjoy them. Let's turn to pavement parking. It's a big topic this week because Guide Dogs, the charity, has come out with a new campaign to try and encourage drivers to be aware of where they park their vehicles. And I just wanted to put it to you guys this week. Since everyone else is talking about it, I thought we should. What's your experience been of pavement parking? Alan, you had a go last time first, so we're going to hand the mic to Sandra. What was your experience been?
Well, I had to have this explained to me because I kind of assumed it was just people mounting the pavement and being stupid and not parking straight. I didn't realise there was a whole kind of lack of curb division causing people to just park on the pavement and having bits of pavement turned into the road. So it is a bit of a mobility horror. I've had one or two altercations with my cane and I'm thinking, you know what? This is the pavement. It's not my fault that your car may have met my cane. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm just going to carry on walking.
Okay. Alan?
Well, of course, most of the streets in my area don't. Long ago, of course, you used to step off the pavement onto the road, but now the pavements slant to the road. This is to assist those with a wheelchair, and that's wonderful. But of course, now the cars are parked in very strange ways. They're not always parked straight either, so they're anywhere. And they do get a bit annoyed when you hit them with a stick or whatever, because I'm not a guide dog user. So
neither am I.
So I use the stick, and often you get people say, you're hitting my car. Well, yeah, but that's the only way I'm going to know it's... A, that's the only way I know it's there. And B, I've got to find my way around it. And I said, on dustbin days, it's nearly an impossibility because they've parked right next to somebody's dustbin, which shouldn't be where it is in the first place. So you get a number of factors coming into play where, unfortunately, hello, welcome to the real world. Everybody these days has three or four cars, and so consequently, they just park where they can.
This is the problem, and again, it comes back to this, what can we do about it? Because I think this is a suggestion in the campaign. Mm. You know, we need to do something. I guess, though, it's a difficult one to sort of stand up and go to, you know, so say you're walking down the street and you come up against a white van that's parked right over the pavement, you can't get past, you've had to walk around it, maybe onto the road. Say the driver's there, do you approach that person? Would you want to do that? Would that be a comfortable thing to do?
If you know they're there, then yeah, why not? You know, take all the help you can get, and they will help. It's that or dent their van. So it's in their interest to help you.
I guess the question is, what happens if it turns the other way? What happens if it turns negative? If that person becomes rude to you, what do you do?
I think.
Well, don't you touch my car? I don't know. I've never really been in that position because I don't really walk around unaided. I generally have human help as well, so I've got protection.
I've had it once where I hit somebody's poor old van, and they said, "You're hitting my van." I said, "Well, I can't. I've got to find my way around it." And they said, "Well, where do you think I can put it?" I said, "I'm not particularly worried." I said, "But unfortunately, I have to find my way around it. It might help me if you could be kind enough to show me." Oh, yes, all right then. And I got out of the problem simply by suggesting something, which, of course, it didn't dawn on him that if I showed him round past my van, he wouldn't hit it anymore. And so I got out of the problem that way, but it was sheer luck more than anything.
Well, yeah, there's that, but also if he just hadn't parked his van there in the first place...
Well, that would have been useful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think raising awareness is key. People don't really think, where's the best place I can park to aid the disabled community? Things like that. I've got a parking space. Hurrah!
Well, that's it, isn't it?
They don't really think anywhere near past that. My mum's always sort of thinking about, you know, sometimes when a disabled bay is parked, positioned near a lamppost, and she's like, how's a wheelchair going to get out of that?
Mm.
And I'm thinking,
well, their problems are worse than ours sometimes because they can't get their wheelchairs through.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, this isn't just about blind people.
No.
This is about mums with prams. This is about dads with prams.
Yeah.
You know, young parents with young kids. Even walking the dog down the street. You know, you don't want to walk out in the middle. Nobody wants to walk out in the middle of a road.
No.
At any point. That's why they have this thing called a pavement. And, you know, if they come. And I get. I think the other thing I've heard this week a lot is, you know, well, there's a lot of people who just. There's no other place they can park. You know, for whatever reason. Maybe it's a very small street that, you know, and you see this a lot now in sort of suburb areas. You'll see, you know, cars parked right up in pavements because the street's just too narrow. You couldn't have all the cars parked on the road that you know one would get past. So that's a thing. But it is about saying, well, if you just give us a little bit more space.
Yeah. Somewhere where we can walk, please. I don't mind. You know.
Well, again, awareness is key because you will get situations like that, but you will equally get people who just don't think about it. They park in the first parking space they can find
and walk
to the destination because it's the fastest walk. But if they parked a bit further away, so they can walk a bit further because walking isn't anything to the able-bodied community in general. And it means that their car will be less interfered with in terms of paintwork if they parked in a safer way that may be a bit further away from their destination, because mostly it is about, you know, it's pouring rain. I want the parking space as close to my destination because I don't want to get wet. And, oh, it's on the pavement, doesn't matter. They don't think about the disabled people. So raising awareness is key.
Okay, so let me throw something into the... Let me just throw a spanner in here, right? Because I wonder, and I ask this genuinely, I'm not just saying this to cause an argument. I am wondering, should we expect people, just your average Joe, to actually fully understand and appreciate the needs of disabled people? Should we expect that?
No, you can't.
I don't think we should expect that, but I think the campaigns and things, isn't that part of the point of a campaign, to raise awareness?
You can help make them aware, but you can't expect them to know. It's like us trying to understand some disability we've never heard of. Until somebody tells you or explains about it, you can't know. But I don't think you can expect it. But you can hope that if they're made aware of the problem, it may they may suddenly think, oh yeah, never thought of that.
Exactly.
Well, it's been really interesting having you guys on. You need to do this again sometime, both of you. Really enjoyed this. Sandra, you're back on Monday at 7 o'clock with the Music Box.
That's on Sundays as well, so if you miss Monday, you can get it this Sunday.
It's on a Sunday as well, is it?
I tell you, Alan, I'm going to write you a list. Alan George, when are you on the radio?
I'm on a Monday morning at midday, then I'm on a Saturday evening at 6 p.m, and I come back on Sunday at midday.
Fantastic.
But the two shows are repeats. The Monday is the start, and then the Saturday and Sunday are the repeats.
Okay.
Well, my Monday evening at 7 is the main one, and then Sunday mornings at 8 and Sunday evenings at 7 are the repeat programs.
Oh, thanks. Well done. You give me the times. Thank you.
Just for
you're
Alan.
Welcome.
Sandra and Alan, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you on the forum today.
Thank you.
It's been a fun conversation. The Daily
Connect podcast. Time for something for the weekend. Am I right in saying there's a jingle?
I made a jingle.
You made a jingle. Let's hear it then. The Daily Connect.
Hey, we have a jingle.
We have a jingle. Well done. Well done.
That's all right. I was expecting some, that could be better from the jingle master.
Honestly,
Stephen Scott.
No, you're so critical of yourself. No, not at all. That is brilliant. I love that. There are things you could change. But anyway, right, what's first up?
Well, you'll be very pleased to hear that Netflix have a couple of originals coming out this weekend. Netflix, fantastic for their audio description. Mm-hmm. And this is a big one this weekend. They're releasing a brand new series from the creator of The Simpsons, another animated series. It's called Disenchantment.
I want to be in charge of my own destiny.
I want to see the outside world.
I want to get rid of all the diseases plaguing mankind and replace them with worse ones.
Being yelled out of control. I don't even know what to yell at you.
I'm not so bad.
Well, you did kill that one guy.
I'd be fine if someone could just slide my head up a bit.
Isn't there a point in everyone's life where they need to go and figure out who they are? Whew, I'm a good butcher.
This is a pet shop.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Yes, I think it's a more adult fare from The Simpsons creator, Matt Groening, but it's the medieval misadventures of a hard-drinking princess, her feisty elf, and her own personal demon.
Right, okay. That sounds good. And of course it'll be audio described, which is great.
Absolutely. There is a Netflix original movie released this weekend as well. It's called To All the Boys I've Loved Before. The teenage girl's secret love letters are suddenly exposed to her entire school, and they wreak havoc on her love life. So that's a Netflix original movie coming out this weekend as well. But speaking of movies, let's go along to the cinema, shall we, Stephen? Of course, check your local cinemas for AD listings across the country. A big film this weekend is Christopher Robin. A working class family man, Christopher Robin encounters his childhood friend who helps him rediscover the joys of life.
We should be working this weekend, Robin.
But I promised my wife and daughter I'd take them away this weekend.
All hands on deck.
You won't be coming to the cottage.
Well, it can't be helped.
Your life is happening now, right in front of you.
What to do, what to do, what to do.
What to do indeed.
Who?
Christopher Robin.
No.
The tree I remember was in the countryside, not here in London. There's no opening.
I suppose it's where it needs to be.
Well, that's a silly explanation.
Why, thank you. Who? Why are you here? Oh, yes, I need your help. I've lost all of my friends.
Let's get to the bottom of this.
That's very British, isn't it? I've lost all my friends. Let's get to the bottom of this.
Were you a fan of Winnie the Pooh, Stephen?
Well, yeah. Maybe not my cup of tea, but
no.
I don't know. This sounds quite good. I like
this one film. Looks like they're. I mean, it's basically Hook again, isn't it? It's an older version of a character that we knew coming back to face his demons or his childhood friends. So, yeah, it could be good. Mm-hmm. They've got all the animated voices back on as they were. But there is another film coming to the cinemas. I couldn't get you a clip for this one, Stephen, because they're all red band as an adult. But this is a very adult fare from Brian Henson of The Muppets. He directs a new kind of Muppet movie. It's called The Happy Time Murders. So that's also coming to the cinema. And in music, there's a big release this weekend. Ariana Grande is releasing her album, Sweetener. This is the lead-off single from that. It's called No Tears Left to Cry. The album features collaborations with Nicki Minaj and others. So this is going to be your big musical release of the weekend. And if you've time and you're in the Belfast area, why not check out the League of Gentlemen? They are back doing what they do best and returning to the live scene. If you need a reminder of what the League of Gentlemen's comedy is like, well, check this one out.
Hello, hello, Tots. What's going on? What's all this shouting? We'll have no trouble here.
Are you the proprietor?
Yes, yes.
Well, your wife said you were up the stairs, sir.
I slipped out, Tubbs, for a walk. Didn't want to disturb you. Fine evening, the town. We're very proud.
He's looking for a boy.
Sir, I'm here on police business. I found this boy's wallet.
Local boy?
He's not from our town.
Ah, do we know his parents?
I said we'd never seen him before. Did Tubbs do right?
You did it beautifully, Tom.
Did you watch The League of Gentlemen, Stephen?
I did, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, very good.
Very dark comedy.
Yeah, but good. Funny stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, okay, there you go. That's it. Something for the weekend. Thank you, Chris.
You're very welcome, Stephen.
Producer Chris in the studio with us, and that is it for the podcast for today and for this week. Chris Wallace is your host next week because I'm on holiday, but I'll be back the week after. So have a great time. Enjoy, Chris, and keep listening to The Daily Connect live 10 till 12 every single weekday here on RNIB Connect Radio and also on the podcast just after 5. Have a great weekend.
The Daily Connect Podcast.